I think in all seasons of our lives, we see different characteristics of God. When we are young, we might see God as protector, creator, all-powerful. When we are young adults, we might see him have a greater appreciation for God as our guide, our friend, and his forgiveness. When we are older adults, we may see God as redeemer, judge, and companion. Right now, in my stage of life, my vocation is a stay-at-home mom. Together with my husband, Brian, I help manage the household and raise Brandon, who's 6 and in half-day kindergarten, and Lucinda, who's 4 years old and goes to preschool 2 mornings a week. This morning, I want to share with you some of the characteristics of God that I see more clearly while I am at this season of my life. As I teach and raise my children, I'm discovering some of the parental aspects of God's character. Things like God sees the bigger picture, God is in charge, God's deep, overwhelming love for us. We can trust God. I'm sure all parents learn a lot as they teach their children, and I know I'm only in the early stages of parenthood. You who are raising middle schoolers and teenagers have been through these stages and are still working hard. I hear it doesn't get any easier, but hopefully we can draw closer to God through it. So this morning you will hear a lot about Brandon and Lucinda, but what I want you to take away from here is that God loves you immensely, God is fully trustworthy, and he embraces our laments. While teaching children who are ages 6 and 4, it feels like I'm often repeating phrases. Use your words. Stop testing. Get your shoes and socks on. Buckle up. Be patient. I want you to obey. Say you're sorry. Wash your hands. Don't touch everything. Slow down. Sound familiar? I really do love my kids. I say these things to teach them how to stay safe, to stay healthy, how to treat other people, and how to get along with others. Sometimes at home, I may come across to them as just spouting off a bunch of rules. I don't let them have any fun, and I make them work all the time. Probably most parents have been accused by their kids of being mean. My sister showed me this next picture of this dog, and I thought it was really funny. You dog lovers might appreciate this. Thank you, Audrey. So, your dog at home, or your mom in public. Okay, I have to switch it or else nobody will pay any more attention to me. Sometimes moms and dads can be perceived as just enforcing a lot of rules. While out in public, you put on a happy face. You wash your hands, do your homework, don't pick on your sister, say thank you, put your phone away, be on time. And sometimes God can be perceived this way too. Do not murder, do not lie, do not commit adultery, be generous, love your neighbor, forgive. But look at the purpose behind these commandments. It's for the good of each person and for the community as a whole. It builds healthy relationships. It builds trust. It builds safety. That is God's heart behind all the commandments. They're not a bunch of random commandments. They're words of life that are for our good. But at 6 years of age, one's perspective can't always see the bigger picture. Why can't Brandon throw his ball in the kitchen? Why can't he play soccer in the living room or ride underneath the grocery cart? I want Brandon to trust me when I tell him these activities are not good for him. In the short term, they may be fun and exciting, but in the long run, they are not wise. I think God would tell me and us the same thing. Trust me when I tell you something, when I guide you, when I want you to take action. Trust me that I have your best interest in mind and can see down the road and know what is best for you. Trust me. This past summer, our family went to Maine with Brian's parents and his 2 sisters and their families. There were 17 of us, and we camped in tents for a week. We had 3 tents and 1 small RV where Brian's parents slept. The way our 4 campsites were situated is there were a camp road that ran between where our 3 tents were and where the RV was. There wasn't much traffic. An occasional car or bicycle went through, but all adults were constantly reminding the 9 children to look both ways before they crossed the road. One 3-year-old nephew knew that he had to look both ways before crossing the road, and several parents watched as he went to the edge of the road. He looked left, right, up, and down. Didn't see any traffic, and so he went across. He knew he had to look all around. He didn't quite understand the bigger picture, didn't know what he was looking for, but he obeyed, and that's important. Maybe a year ago one day, Lucinda came over and gave me a big hug and said, I love you, Mommy, and then turned around and started pulling magazines and books off the bookshelf and just making a huge mess. something she knew she shouldn't be doing. I did not feel loved by Lucinda in that moment. How can you say you love me and then directly disobey me? If you love me, I expect you to obey me. Jesus says these same words to us in John 14:23. If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. If we love God, we will obey him when he's trying to teach us. For the last few weeks, we've been learning about restoration during Nehemiah's time. His prayer in Nehemiah 1:5 starts out with, O Lord God of heaven, the great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and obey his commands. Then I read the exact same prayer in Daniel 9:4. O Lord, the great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant of love with all who love him and obey his commands. Very interesting, I thought. Then I learned that Daniel actually lived and wrote his book 100 years before Nehemiah, even though in our Bibles, the book of Nehemiah is way before the book of Daniel. So Nehemiah was quoting Daniel when he prayed his prayer. And the great and awesome God phrase goes back to Deuteronomy, when the Israelites were receiving the Ten Commandments and the law through Moses. Then back in the New Testament again, 1 John 5:3 says, This is love for God, to obey his commands. I find that when phrases are repeated like that through Scripture and through hundreds and hundreds of years, they're worth taking note of, that this resonates with God. It's important. He's underlying it. He's repeating it over and over again. If you love God, you will obey his commands. One evening after supper, Lucinda asked, What's for dessert? I said, Pears. Lucinda says, Yucky ones or yummy ones? Thanks a lot. I wouldn't give my daughter yucky pears for dessert. I want her to trust me that I'll give her yummy things, and for dessert, things that taste good. Just as I want Lucinda to trust me, God wants us to trust him. He wants to give us good things. In Matthew 7, Jesus says, Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, we'll give him a snake. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Jesus said if we ask for bread, he will not give us a stone. For some reason, we often think the hardest and thing we most don't want to do is what God wants us to do. That is not true. God has given you interests, talents, abilities. He wants you to use them, enjoy them, be full of life. Lucinda loves to twirl around and sing. She will twirl in her pajamas, twirl on her way down the hallway, twirl in the grocery store, twirl till she falls down. This is not something Brian and I taught her or forced on her, but she loves to do it just for the sheer joy of it. And it makes Brian and I proud and full of joy to watch her doing it, just because it brings her joy. Brandon loves to play soccer. He's only 6, so he's not that great at it yet, but he loves to play. The first time he played on the Ephrata Soccer U6 team, he ran around the field with a big smile on his face, just happy to be out there running around. The game was just above chaos. People didn't know which way they were supposed to kick the ball and everything, but Brian and I loved to go watch because it brought Brandon so much joy, and we loved to watch him having fun. I believe in the same way, it brings God much joy to watch us having fun, to watch us use our gifts, to do things that are life-giving for us. God created us for his joy, and sometimes we think we can only bring him glory by doing hard work that we don't want to do. And sometimes this is true. We're also proud of our kids when they do something we know they don't want to do. But it gives us much more joy to see them doing something that brings life and fulfillment into their lives. So those interests and talents and things that give you energy and enthusiasm, go for it, do it, invest in them. Glorify God with your enthusiasm. And don't think that because what gives you joy is not listed in the gift section of 1 Corinthians, it does not bring glory to God. This congregation is full of people with diverse interests, and I love it that so many of you use these unique talents to glorify God. Gifts of photography, of drawing, of acting, writing fiction, tending flowers, making chili. Pay attention to what gives you energy and enthusiasm, and do it to love God and love others. And remember that we don't all have the same gifts. Brandon does not love to twirl around, and Lucinda is not overly fond of soccer. Is either one preferred over the other? No, and I don't ask Brandon to twirl around, even though it gives me much joy to watch Lucinda twirl. And I don't feel upset at Brandon for not twirling. And it's fine that Lucinda doesn't play soccer. I'm not less proud of her for not playing soccer. and she doesn't bring me less joy for not playing soccer. I hope you see the parallel here. God has given each of us unique gifts, talents, and interests. He wants us to use these to glorify Him. Sometimes I think we hold certain talents or interests up as glorifying God more. Those with gifts in music and public speaking or writing glorify God more than gifts of listening and gardening and computer skills. Or those who work in a different country or with foster care are more holy than working with the sick or cleaning houses. There are a lot of different ways to serve and honor God. I encourage you to value the interests God has given you, invest in them, develop them, fully enjoy them, and know that it brings God a lot of joy and glory when you embrace them. So if God is in charge, sees the bigger picture, and loves us so much, why is there so much pain in the world? Even though we pray, why do people still die of diseases? Why do the wicked prosper to the detriment of the poor? Why are people still forced from their homes to become refugees? Mark preached on this topic several months ago and how the suffering of Christ gives him hope as we walk together with those who are suffering here on earth. As I see God as a loving parent who sees all and has the power to intervene, how can God allow so much suffering to happen? It's a hard question that makes me squirm. In the world of black and white answers, my response has to be, well, either God is not fully loving to everyone, or somehow it's the fault of those who are suffering, or maybe God is really not in control. This past year has taken me on a journey that has taught me a different response to that question, on what do we do when there seems to be suffering for no reason. Now I would say there is no either or, there is both and. God is loving and in control, and there is suffering. I don't know why, it doesn't make sense to me, but I've wrestled with God through some suffering, and I know that His character is always loving. He is always with us. I hold on to my belief that God is fully loving and trustworthy, and also that these sufferings happen to innocents. In the struggle to reconcile these things, I lament and wrestle with God and trust Him. This journey started when last winter Brandon would get a runny nose and then a terrible cough that would develop into a constant hard cough all day, all night, and could only be stopped by a steroid. Previous to this, Brandon had been tested for allergies and was found to be allergic to mold, dust mites, and cats. Pretty normal list. So we put allergy covers on his mattress and pillow, washed his bedding more often, made the cat stay in the garage, got rid of all the house plants, limited to 2 stuffed animals at night, and tried to do a better job of keeping his room clean. He was on some medicine that seemed to be helping. The summer was great. He had a runny nose, but no coughing episodes. Then November hit, and Brandon had a coughing episode, meaning he coughed hard all day and all night. Nobody got any sleep until we gave him prednisone, and then after about 12 hours, his coughing subsided. Then in December, the same thing happened again. And in January, and in February, all the while we're doing everything the allergy doctor's saying, trying different inhalers for asthma, different nose sprays, bought an air purifier, even bought some allergy wipes for our cat. You can buy these. They look like a baby wipe. You wipe it on your cat's fur, and once a week, and it's supposed to take away the cat's dander. Maybe it helps some people. It seemed a bit far-fetched to us, but at this point, we're willing to try anything. He was on a lot of different medicine, and the worst part was nothing helped. I cried out to God, please heal him. The allergy doctors had no answers. We weren't getting sleep at night, which makes everything worse. And it just stressed me out to hear Brandon coughing constantly, day and night, and to not know how to help him. The scriptures say Jesus healed many people. He sent his disciples out to heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy. God desires to give us a full life. God hears us when we pray to him. God gives us good things. But these monthly coughing episodes were not full of life for us. I did not feel heard by God. I knew God was with us, but I was frustrated because I felt like he wasn't doing anything to help us. In talking to my spiritual mentor about all this, she suggested I read some laments in the Psalms that David wrote. I told her I never read the laments because they sound like they're complaining too much. They sound exaggerated and dramatic, and anyway, at the end, David always ends up praising God, and things turn out okay. I didn't know if the situation would turn out okay. It's only allergies and a terrible cough. It's not as bad as some people have it. But as the cough continued on and sleep deprivation seeped in, I turned to the laments in the Psalms. Psalm 22 spoke it well. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, so far from the words of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer, by night, and am not silent. In Psalm 6, my soul is in anguish. How long, O Lord, how long? Turn, O Lord, and deliver me. Save me because of your unfailing love. I could relate to this, and this is scripture. This is David, a man after God's own heart. I know some of you are going through difficult times right now, times of sickness, chronic pain, family difficulties, financial struggles, heart's burden for our neighbors both here and around the world. We all go through different struggles, and I hope you've experienced the freedom and opportunity to take these struggles to God, not to deny they're happening or buck up and bear it, but to tell God what you think, that you have looked for God's hand, but you just do not see him working. You have done all you can think of, but you are frustrated and desperate. One night after putting a coughing Brandon to bed and not knowing whether or not we would get any sleep that night, I told Brian I was going outside to lament. I needed to go to God with my laments as a child goes to her parent with something she's frustrated with and doesn't understand what is happening or why it is happening. I went outside in the dark and walked to the back of our property, feeling ridiculous every step of the way and thinking, what good will this do? I've already told God what I think and asked for healing for Brandon. This is a bit extreme. I don't do things out of the norm very often. But I kept going, wanting to do something different. Tell God, this is enough. I am done. I don't know what to do anymore. I am at my end. So I stared at the silhouette of a large oak tree and poured my heart out to God and asked God for healing for Brandon, for wisdom for the doctors, for an end to this miserable cycle, and an end to the coughing. I know you are God. You made this immense sky and trees and stars. I know you have the power to heal Brandon's body. You made his body, and you love him more than I do. You don't want to see him coughing like this either. Please heal him, please. And help me. I am done with this. I have no more strength to cope with this. I need your strength. Help me. I know you love us. Please show us. Show up, please. And when my heart felt like it said its peace, I walked slowly back inside, wondering if I would have to go back to hearing the coughing, hoping that by sticking my neck out and doing something different and out of character, God would have mercy and would answer me. And to my great surprise and relief, there was silence when I went inside, no coughing. The coughing came back next month and the one after that, but my relationship with God had changed. God understands that we go through real pain and heartache, whether physical or emotional or otherwise, and he wants to hear about it. The Psalms are full of laments. It's hard to avoid them. God is a person, and we have a relationship with him, just as we do with our parents. As children, and probably as adults too, if we are struggling and frustrated, our parents or those who care about us want to hear about it. And so does God. God can handle our laments. God can handle our frustrations. It doesn't mean that we believe in God any less when we cry out to him saying the situation doesn't feel just or we do not feel heard by him. By telling him what we really think, we are drawing closer to him and seeking out what he's trying to teach us or just what his ways are or just being honest with him. And that is a good way to build healthy relationships with anyone, including God. If we only come to God with our thanks and petitions for the future, but don't mention the pain of what is happening or why it feels like God didn't show up somewhere in your life, it makes us feel like we have to defend God or protect God from our doubts. I've found that God welcomes my doubts and even embraces them. There's more freedom in my relationship with God when I can express my doubts to him. I trust in God's character, his love for me and all people, and do not deny that there is hurt and pain and sickness and suffering. This is part of the mystery of God. It does not make sense to my logical mind, but God is God. God is in charge. I am God's child, and so continue to hold these out to God to teach me more of him. And for an update on Brandon, this winter has been much better. In December, we started him on allergy shots, and he's not had a coughing episode since then. even though the doctor said it would take 6 months for us to see results. Praise God for his restoration. I want to close with a song by Lauren Daigle entitled Trust in You. It speaks to the character of God, that even when we don't see God moving, we will trust him.